Welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This is, of course, the Loose Ballers edition with myself, Xavier Ellis, and Dill Buckley. And we're here, thank you very much, to the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Mr. Buckley, welcome.
Welcome to me. Thank you, Xavier Ellis and Joshy Garlop. It's good to chat to you guys. It's the highlight of my week, as usual.
Now, out of lockdown, of course, recording Wednesday morning over here in WA. Out of lockdown for the East Coast Melburnians.
Yeah, we are, mate. It's unbelievable. Lockdowns don't get easier, and out of lockdowns don't get any better. I think that makes sense. Anyway, it's been good. It's been very good to get out of lockdown. And just to, you know, be a five-timer now, it's been it's been tough, that's for sure. Five-time lockdown specialist, they've been calling us down here, which has been crazy. Look at our, you know, look at the East Coasters over there. They're locked down for 3 weeks and they're doing riots. I said, boys and girls, we've been doing this for 6 months.
Mate. I had someone the other day say someone from my hometown drove down to Melbourne to join a protest. I was like, what an absolute dick smack.
Mate, these protests are going on. It's just silly. Like, yeah, anyway, let's not get into that.
No, let's not. Hey, Olympics. Have you been watching any of it?
Yeah, I have, mate. I've loved it. Jess Fox on today. She's going to be competing. She obviously did some amazing things yesterday.
Fan of yours, Jess Fox?
Look, I'll be honest. I didn't know a lot of these athletes before the Olympics was on.
I've seen the same thing.
It's been great, though, and that's something that I think I was a little bit nervous about for the athletes in the Olympics. Like, you see a lot of these sports that are played and you know, not being disrespectful here at all, but, you know, the pinnacle of their sport is the Olympics. And yeah, that's where a lot of these athletes, you know, when they're at the top of their game, they train so hard. And obviously they get the notoriety, they get the sponsorships, they get all this stuff off the back of these Olympic Games. And I was worried early going into it. I go, geez, you know, imagine these athletes winning gold and breaking these records. You know, is it going to be tainted? Are they going to get the notoriety out of it? But I think it still has been really good. We saw Timmis, you know, winning the swimming and her coach absolutely going mental, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I love watching the Ollie Roos. Daniel Azani's fired up. It's good to see the soccer boys and girls really going well in that. And, yeah, it's been good, mate. I'm loving it. I haven't been able to watch as much as I'd like, but I'm definitely going to really you know, fire up when the track and field gets done as well.
Mate, because we do breakfast radio at 5:30 in the morning, the last couple of mornings we've caught the start of the triathlon. So I've just had a little personal interest on someone, did a little bit of research at 5 a.m. and had a bet on something. Mate, it goes for 2 hours. It was the best 2 hours of radio I've ever been involved in. I backed the loser day one, day two, Flora Duffy from Bermuda, the collection of islands. So I'm sitting there, had no idea what Bermuda was. Before I knew it, I was doing breaks on Bermuda on air, like 134 collection of islands. John Lennon lived there. John Lennon wrote 20 songs in Bermuda. You don't pay tax there. 1610, Bermuda was populated by 3 people and then a boat turned up. I'm all over Bermuda at the moment.
Well, what about the Bermuda Triangle as well? That's famous for the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, that's because I reckon there's all those islands that the boats just crash into them and stuff, and that's where they disappear.
Well, it is. Yeah, we could do a podcast on the Bermuda Triangle itself. It's a fascinating theory, conspiracy theory, I suppose. What would you call it? I'm not sure. But yeah, speaking of Bermuda, there's a lot of countries out there that you really don't hear a great deal about until Olympic time, but that's what makes it so special and gets to, you know, really showcase a lot of the stories that are out there in the world. That's great, mate, and it's not all about winning. I think it's just, you know, I was saying this earlier to a mate, we were chatting about the Olympics, and I think it's the Australian way and what we love. It's not necessarily going there winning gold, and we do love that, but it's honestly just rocking up and giving it a red-hot crack, and that's what you really don't have to do a lot to be loved by Australians.
No, you don't.
You just have to rock up and get there and just do something funny, swear in your interview, and we'll love you. But the moment you just don't want to, you know, compete for the country, we're really off you as well. So we saw Sally Fitzgibbons be like super emotional with, you know, her second place, and you know, she will never buy a beer again in Australia.
Never again.
She wouldn't have already, but she's really, you know, that just touches the heartstrings of everyone and makes us really proud to be Australian.
Hey, two questions. Did you have any idea who Titmus was, in all seriousness?
No, I didn't. And that's, I, you know, that's not saying a lot because I don't follow a lot of swimming. In all
yeah, I had no idea either. I had absolutely no idea. I saw on these Harvey Norman ads. It was Harvey Norman. Yeah, Harvey Norman ads. And it's like, oh, I'm around Titmus. I was like, who the hell's around Titmus? Anyway, all of a sudden, like, she's now just a name for ever in a day that we'll know who she is. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so good. And that's what the Olympics does, isn't it? And I think that that's why it's so important looking now, you know, in the next Olympic Games, sorry, the one in two Olympic Games time that's going to be held in Brisbane. Like, you look at all the young kids, young Ted, you know, young Ted Ellis watching Ariana out there in the pool. He wants to be the next Olympian, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty cool to have that and to be, you know, like such an Australian athlete that's inspiring the younger generation, and hopefully, like, realistically, that actually could be, you know, how old will Ted be in the next Olympics?
He'd be probably right on the market. Six. It'd be six next.
No, the one after, sorry. The one after. So he'd be
10. So maybe 2040.
Oh, he'll miss the Brisbane one unless he's really going
Brisbane.
Well.
He'd actually be a bit of trouble at home.
With a father with his attitude like that he doesn't back him in to make it at 10 years old, I don't know what hope he's got.
Well, he's in a bit of trouble, mate, because Em just sent me this video literally as I was at work today. And it's fair to say Ted's got a few he's gonna have dad to deal with when he gets home.
Oh, my God,
what? What was the last part of that?
Light. So this is bad and not great parenting. So he's turning the light on in the inside the car. The other day, it's bloody shocking, an error on my behalf, shocking parenting. I was trying to get little baby Albie into his car seat and it was pitch black. And the light, you know, the light, it comes on when the door, you flicked over the door. Someone had flicked it to off. So I was pitch black and I made a comment about the light and Ted obviously heard me and he's dusted it off 2 weeks later to mum.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
We're battling a little bit at the moment, Ted and I, but hey, Olympics, last one. If you could compete in any event, you got the world at your feet, you compete, you're going to make the final, or what would it be?
I think I have put a lot of thought into this, Xavier, and I think like the answer would be like, you know, off, you know, surface level answer would be, oh, you know, you'd play the basketball or something like this. But I reckon it really wouldn't be now because the pinnacle for those sports isn't the Olympics.
Yeah,
but you'd want to have something that if you're in the Olympics, this is the absolute pinnacle of your sport.
Yeah.
So whether that be swimming or track and field, I think they're the two that you'd narrow down to. But I don't think, you know, cliche answer, I don't think there's any better event than the 100 meter sprint.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those main ones, but I, for some reason, I have I don't even know what the word is, but the rowing, I absolutely love it. I think it's got something to do with like the horns as well when they cross the line. It's like, beep, beep. So like, yeah, I absolutely love the rowing. So anyway, enough about the Olympics because we've got plenty of that to follow over the next couple of weeks. Let's head towards. We're gonna do a couple of WA things here early, deal. Harry Taylor, are you up to date with Harry Taylor's performances?
Yeah, I saw Paddy Cripps post something yesterday. So he's played and kicked 14 goals or 12 goals.
Kicked 17. Mate, have you heard of Northampton?
I have. That is where Paddy Cripps is from. I've actually stayed there as a young man, and the Cripps family is from around that area. I'm 90% sure.
Yeah, they kicked 17 goals. Harry Taylor, he looked like he was done, I reckon, in 2010. He always walked with a hobble, limped around, all that sort of stuff. Harry Taylor, 17 goals for Northampton. Northampton deal is where the cyclone went through and busted open all the farms and that sort of stuff. So he's I think he's running the league up there. I think, he's running the league. So Harry Taylor's in charge of, all the country clubs up there. He went to play back when the original Cyclones hit. They had a big day where, you know, Harry Taylor was going to play and anybody of note, you know, some Waffle players or whatever, were going to go back and play for Northampton. Paul Hazelby's another one from that way, I reckon, Josh, yeah. And they got up there and COVID, there was a tiny little COVID, one person in WA. It was one of our lockdowns or whatever. And if you'd been in Victoria, you weren't allowed out for 14 days. So Harry Taylor was pulled from the game because, and so was everyone who was going to play because they'd been in Melbourne. I think Harry had done his lap of honour with Gary Ablett or something like that. So, Harry Taylor, 17 goals. I mean, the league mustn't be too strong. You wouldn't think. Harry's 35, I reckon. What's the most you've jagged in a game?
Oh, well, will you bring it up now? I wasn't going to talk about it, but I have kicked 14 in a game before.
Kicked 14?
Yeah, it was a tough day.
What happened?
Tough day for my opponent, sorry. I kicked 14. It was in under 14s, but it still counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, bloody oath.
Yeah, fantastic.
Ask me.
Well, that's all I've got to tell you about. I can get you the highlights, maybe. I can ask if the Yarra Junior Football Club have the records there. I might have to bring them in next week and get the papers. But it was actually, I know you want to know more about the story, so I'll tell you, but it was actually the year before we went into, so these were 15-minute quarters as well. The next year, number 15s, you go up to 20-minute quarters. So
extrapolate that out.
On an equal with a guy that kicked 14, but he had him in 20-minute quarters, so he had a whole other quarter to kick 14 than me. So
ask me.
Yeah.
Ask me.
Oh, sorry. How many goals have you kicked, man?
17. Yeah, thanks, mate. 17. I was 14 playing.
What was that line?
I was 14 playing in the under-18s at Lakes Entrance. We're out at Lyndon O, and it was the last round, and I needed something like, and I am taking the piss. I did kick 17, but I needed something like 8 or 9 to win the leading goal kicking award, and because I was the closest to winning, they picked me, the team. So I sat at full forward, and they refused to kick the goals, the teammates, until I kicked it. So they'd run away from the goals until I'd get a handball somehow, and the opposition would be chasing me around everywhere because they knew what was going on. And then you'd kick it through. So I got 17 and ended up winning the league goal kicking purely for a stitch up because the bloke who was leading was a knob, and we didn't want him winning from another club. So yeah, it was 17, but it was a made up 17. I didn't earn. I probably earned three or four of them, and then probably the rest.
Can I just ask how long the quarters were though, just for my own?
I think they were 12 and a half plus time on. So
no, they weren't. They weren't.
I think they were the traditional 20-minuters. So. And shout out to the Lakes Entrance boys who got me that trophy. Mate, a waffle over here, right? So the waffle, obviously, you're familiar with our state league, the waffle in WA. It's because of COVID, we've missed a couple of weeks. And at the moment, there's a meeting tonight around how they're going to try and get back on track to play the grand final as it was scheduled. And there's talk that they might. So the finals over here is top five deal. And the talk is what they want to do is just cut fifth out of the finals to catch up. So there's your 2 weeks gone. We just cut fifth, shorten the final series, drop a bye, and we're back on track. Now, imagine being at Swan Districts at the moment who are fifth, and they go, this late in the season, stiff bickies, guys, we're actually not going to play fifth in the finals this year.
Yeah, well, you know what I have to say to that, Xavier? Don't finish fifth. Finish fourth.
Oh, Jesus, Joshy.
I don't mind it. Well, what's wrong with that? It's COVID. Like, they're trying to get the season out. Realistically, if you want to win the grand final, you should be finishing in the top four anyway.
Oh, mate, the Swan Districts people, you reckon the Fremantle people got after you? Swan Districts, mate, the Canberra are wild, aren't they, Joshy?
That's right.
Sorry, what did I say? Swan Districts should just go straight to the grand final, is what I mean. And then the other team should be playing off of them and just shorten the final series.
Yeah, a more popular opinion over here in WA would be something like the team that finishes first just gets cut. That would be more of the safer version of events for your own life over here. Buddy Franklin.
No, I actually do. I actually do know Swan Districts very well. Chris Yaron, Dave Allard, Alex Rance, coming out of the Football Factory. My cousin actually used to play there, Reese Fitzpatrick.
Reese Fitzpatrick.
I've got a bit of family blood at Swanee, so I do have some love for the black and white.
Yeah, no, they're very passionate, fantastic waffle club. Buddy Franklin, elbow, week, no week, or did he get let off to try and make that charge to 1,000?
Oh, look, mate, the AFL at the moment, what the hell? Like, if that was Toby Green... I don't know. Like, that's probably a 7 week. Like, seriously, what would Toby Green get for that, you reckon?
Life.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. And you know what I'm really excited for? Because I love the approach we're taking about protecting the heads now and head eye contact. But the AFL are either going to make absolute fools of themselves or just create unhappy people. Because with the finals coming up soon and head knocks being, you know, concussion and being the protocol of, you know, missing 2 weeks of footy or a head knock as in a reportable offence and whether they should be getting 1 week, 2 week, you know, considering the outcome of the injury. Imagine if something happens, you know, grand final time, you know, we see another clash of Dangerfield accidentally, you know, going for the ball, but, you know, bumping, concussing someone and he misses a grand final.
Yeah, I was surprised that Bud got off, but I was more surprised Shuey got off. So once Shuey got off, I was like, well, Franklin's at least got something pretty similar to follow. Obviously, you know, Luke, we know Luke pretty well. Boots is a pretty coordinated fella. And that arm that got Callum Mills, I'm not sure it was the greatest accident of all time by Buddha, I want to see Bud get to 1,000. But I saw him getting off from day dot after Shuey got off. So I'm glad personally because I love watching Shuey play and I love watching Bud play. But if it was Toby or a rookie or a first year player, much different. Hey, you mentioned Toby Green. He moved into a house with some teammates or something. He rang the vice captain of New South Wales Health to chat through the possibilities. Can you tell us how that played? Like, What do we expect? I don't even know who the vice captain of New South Wales Health is, but what they expect once Toby's got the phone call.
Is that common knowledge now, is it?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, assuming. All right. Well, I spoke to him last week and, you know, he's a passionate man. He wasn't too happy with the arrangements that had been...
Wasn't thrilled.
...that had, hadn't been given. And Toby gets what Toby wants. He went straight to the top. He was, you know, bypassed everyone in his way and just said, this is what's happening. This is the problem. And realistically, he was doing the right thing. The protocols that were put in place of them were really quite silly and they weren't listening. And they were sort of, you know, like a lot of COVID things, there's some common sense that comes into it. And realistically, these guys had already been together the whole time. They were changing hotel rooms all the time. So, like, why couldn't they go and live together in an Airbnb?
Yeah.
And there went straight to the top and got it approved. But realistically, it should have been something that was, you know, probably done from the start anyway.
So the AFL said no, is this right? Or AFL or GWS? But then Toby said...
I don't know exactly who said no, but I think like anything and with these calls, when you're dealing with COVID, which is fair enough, you're always just going to do the most precautious case that you can.
Yeah.
So, you know, without even really thinking about the circumstance of what's going on, you're going to do the most cautious cases. But, yeah, I think they just got together and said, look, realistically, we're going to be in this for, you know, seven days. There's no – we've already been together, you know, at the game 3 days post or whatever it was post it. You know, what's the harm in us isolating now? We've already all been together. So it does make sense on that behalf. And I think, yeah, in the end, common sense prevailed and they got to go and stay in an Airbnb together.
So he took a couple with him. When the bill comes, who's swiping the credit card? Toby taking the lot?
Well, they might have to shout him for him getting him out of there.
Right, I think
I think it was Matty DeBoer, Briggsy and Jake Stein who were there all together and a couple of coaches. I don't think the coaches actually stayed there, but they were all staying together. So, look, it is a good news for all and they get to do their isolation and do the right thing because obviously Queensland's doing an awesome job like Western Australia at saving the season and, you know, us Victorians are very thankful of that.
There's word over here this week that Joondalup Resort has stopped taking bookings from mid-August onwards to potentially lock it down.
Yeah.
Funny enough, this story actually broke on our radio show. A lady rang in at like 7:30 in the morning. We do a segment called Rumour Mill. And she called herself.
Did that run? Do you know that we recorded, so Liz Clogger podcast, not that I'm, you know, giving a rap here. We recorded Liz Cloggers on Monday nights.
Yeah.
And Goz came to the show on Monday night and said this on Monday night, that he'd got word that the Joondalup Resort is booked out the whole of September and October or whatever it was, the dates around that period. So they've booked the whole thing out.
Yeah, so some lady rang at 7:30 in the morning, called herself the concierge on Monday morning and said, hey, just want to let you know that Joondalup Resort's not taking any more bookings until, like, so what?
You guys.
Yeah, she rang us and then the West rang something. But, Yeah, it was really weird. I don't know. We give away $3,000 to anyone who brings a decent old rumor with them, but
that's pretty good.
She might have nailed that. If that plays out, that's a fairly handy rumor. But Joondalup, they've denied it. But time will tell. Have you
tried to make a booking?
Well, I have. I got to the stage where it asks for your credit card details. And I'm like, I don't care that much if it goes through.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's exactly. All these media people who have tried to book to see where they're all staying there around grand final weekend. Mate, Charlie Curnow returns, one that's close to your heart. Let's touch on the Blues a bit because they are the topic of the day at the moment. I've got one of my best mates. He's a mad Carlton supporter. I argued with him for about half an hour yesterday. Mate, the Blues, what's happening, landscape, and, of course, Charlie returns.
That's awesome, mate. Charlie Curnow, I think, we'll get to a segment later and talk about some young players, but he genuinely is one of the great young players in the comp, and the AFL has been starved of seeing him, and it's really quickly how easily forget, how easily we forget how good some players are. So absolutely rapt that he's making his return. Is that confirmed just quietly?
Yeah, just literally 20 minutes ago, available. Charlie Curnow back. Charlie Curnow available for selection. So
that's good.
He's been ticked
mate,
off.
So excited to see that.
Yeah, no, he's good to go. What's
but yeah, with the Blues, mate, it's a hard one, isn't it? Like it's very, very tough. You know, I battle my brain on this, and I think, you know, is it the coaches? Is it the players? Is it the culture? Is it? I really don't know the answer, but I think realistically. You've got to coach the group you've got, and the group at the moment that they do have is pretty. It is pretty darn good. Like realistically, you look at that younger talent. I'm not talking about the bottom 10 or 15, but I'm talking about those players that you would genuinely build a list around. And let's just get into this segment now. You've got Sam Walsh,
yeah,
Harry Mackay, Charlie Curnow, and Jacob Wiedering. It'd be hard to actually pick a better four players to actually build a team around when it comes to forward a spine. You got two incredible forwards, probably I'd say the best young midfielder in the comp, and it's pretty hard to argue that.
Yeah.
And you've got nearly possibly quite possibly the All-Australian fullback at 22, 23 years of age. The performances aren't acceptable what they've been performing, but it's just a really hard one because you just think, what's the problem then? Is it the players not buying in, or is it the coaches aren't getting the message through? And I think there's just got to be something looked at there. I know they're doing the internal review at the moment, but I don't know, like, can you see it getting better without change? I'm not sure. I really don't know.
So would you say, I call him Jeff Teague every bloody time. Of course, Atlanta Hawks all-star Jeff Teague. Would you reckon Teague will be coaching Carlton post this review?
Well, look, I don't know. And I think that if he is, someone will be brought in to be with him. And I reckon that's like a strong thing. And to be honest, I don't actually think Teague is a problem at all. I think that he just doesn't have maybe his own support network around him enough. Like, yeah. I don't think Teague is, it's not all on Teague. And I hate how it always falls down to the senior coach, because you know as well as anyone how many coaches have impact on, winning flags. Like, the senior coach is nearly the most uninvolved with the group when it comes to actually talking with players and seeing something through. They're the manager. They manage the rest of the coaches.
They're nowhere near it.
So, nowhere near it. So, I think it's pretty unfair to blame it all on him. And I'm hoping that, whether they can identify that, they're the ones in the walls with this internal review, if they can identify that they need a bit more structure around him and some more help with some more assistant coaches that can really support him a little bit better. Maybe that might be the case, or maybe it is the other case. I'm not sure. I'm not in the four walls. But I'd hate to think that they just sack Teague and bring in a new coach with the same team around him. I think if you're going to change something, you need to be changing the whole thing.
Who's in charge of the list? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's Brad Lloyd.
Right. Yeah. I think
from Fremantle.
Yeah, I think it was David Paid, average players, and now you got your salary cap cooked. From my angle, because as you said, Curnow, Harry, Sam Walsh, and Jacob Wiedering deserve to be paid similar money to those who are getting it and probably not deserving it. So it's going to be some testing times to come and see what they do with that list, Carlton. Last one, RE, the Blues. Mark Murphy started as a sub on the weekend. I bet my bottom dollar Carlton were hoping to God that they didn't have to use the sub and just try and nurse Murph through again the closer we get. What's the word over East about Murph and his 300th?
Oh, look, it looks like, from outside perspective and a friend, I really hope that he does get there, and I think he will. And it looks like the club's doing the right thing by it. But, you know, categorically, I don't know if they're even a chance to make finals. But what's the point of really even going for final series when you're not going to have any impact anyway?
Yeah.
I'd be getting in there and just getting ready for next year and playing the players that you want to play. But in saying that as well, Mark Murphy has been an absolute stalwart of that club and has sacrificed a lot to be there. So I'd definitely be seeing him out on a high, that's for sure.
So that's you on a personal note. As I said, the mate I spoke to yesterday, the Carlton supporter, passionate Carlton supporter, he's loves his Blues. And he was talking about how good Sam Walsh is. And he genuinely was, I'll be so pissed off, in other words, if Mark Murphy doesn't get to 300. Like, the general supporters of the opinion get him to 300, or are they a little bit, I get the games you deserve sort of thing?
No, well, this has been my argument the whole time here. Name me two players that are playing in the VFL that you think would take his spot in the team.
I couldn't name your bottom 10, to be honest. He's in front of all
them. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not the argument isn't why shouldn't he be playing 300. It's who's actually going to be replacing him. Like, he actually is still in the best 22. So I just don't understand this argument of not giving him a game on one factor, but then not trying to get him to 300. It just doesn't. I can't fathom it in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that would be playing over him that's in the VFL at the moment that they bring in for the last, you know, four or five games of the year. That isn't there already. Like, they've already blooded those guys that they want to obviously give games to, and he's been a victim of that, which is, you know, fair enough, whatever happens. But at the moment, I couldn't name one person that's being held out of that team that doesn't deserve to be in there.
Yeah, good point. Hey, you did say only moments ago, and we'll talk about the fourth, picking three players to start a list with, pick your three best players that you'd love to start a list with, potentially, you know, 2021 or under. And you mentioned the Carlton boys. You pitched to me which three would I have. You settled on your three?
Look, to be honest, it's funny. Like, I am a Carlton supporter, but I don't favour them at all, and I actually feel like I'm actually quite hard on them. But I really do like what Carlton's doing at the moment with those three players, Sam Walsh, Harry Mackay, and Jacob Wiedering. Like, I can't think of a better forward back and midfielder to be putting in that team. The only other players that I'd think about putting in there is Bailey Smith, and not just on his ability, but his marketability. Like, he's got to be one of the most marketable players in the competition. Like, I want to buy a Bulldogs membership. You know, like, I
to
want
be to around
buy
Bailey.
Anything he's got, I'm keen. Exactly.
Yeah, nice.
So I love him. Love Nick Cox. That was probably my five that I would, you know, really consider. But I honestly really do think Carlton are onto something with their top three. It's just bringing in other players to support them and really build the team around that.
Hey, I'll give my three. I've picked three from different clubs, but I didn't realise that at GWS, I just quickly Googled 2019 AFL draft, Matt Rowell, Noah Anderson, Luke Jackson. I didn't realise that Lachie Ashe was in that draft. He's so much younger than I thought.
Yeah, pick four. So, you know, he came in pretty quickly and played some incredible footy, and I think he's going to be an absolute star of the competition.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised by that. He's going to be pretty good too. Hey, my three, now tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably a bit recency biased too on this one. Max King is the king. So Max King, watched him on the weekend, 8 contested marks, kick 6. It was unbelievable what he did. My midfielder I'm taking, just because Sam Walsh has been shotgunned pretty much. I've got Hugh McCluggage. I still reckon Hugh's got it. He plays outside the contest a lot, but I still reckon he's. And Denver Granger Barras from Hawthorne. Big Denver.
Yeah, okay.
A Swan Districts product, actually. I remember watching Denver when he was 14 out of Swan Districts one night, and he stood a foot taller than everyone else. But, you know, you see at young ages the kids that are tall, and they're just unco numpties.
Yeah,
this bloke almost was kicking it to himself. He'd kick it, mark it, kick it, mark it, kick it, mark it. He was so coordinated. I remember thinking, geez, this kid's got some talent. Maybe it's just because he's bigger than everyone else. But he just, from week to week, it was unbelievable. And I think he went pick four at a guess. Mate, Denver Granger Barras is going to be a star. And I'm a little bit biased, obviously, Hawthorne, but watching him play the last couple of weeks, he's got it. He reads it so well, and he's got put on a little bit of size. He's still skinny, but Denver is my number one man I want to get my hands on.
Yeah, that's huge. I love that. Hey, and just one I just thought about then is someone that we talk about most weeks. I might have to nearly swap in my fullback here, unfortunately. Sam Taylor. Unbelievable what a star he's going to be. And probably all Australian fullback in the next couple of years for a long time.
Yeah, I do team of the week, Dylan. You'd be happy to know that on Sunday night, I just snuck him in as fullback. He played pretty well on the weekend, but I was like, So Sam, it's like the all Australian team. Sam's in. So unless Steve May is the most dominant player or Wiedering or Sam Taylor's in. So if it's a 50-50, I put Serge in every day of the week. So, he's an absolute young gun, mate. Is there anything else you want to add before we skedaddle, let you into some fresh air?
Oh, I just want to say how grateful I am to spend this hour with yourself and Josh and,
What's on for the rest of the day?
Family. It's beautiful. What's on? Nah, just a bit of work, mate, just in the office now. It's good to get out of the house, like I said, and be a little bit more productive and, put some smiles on some dials.
That's it for another week of the Loose Ballers. Again, thank you very much, Mazda. Of course, the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Stick around. There's plenty more footy to come on the Hardball Gets Football podcast.